to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a contemporary praise song and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
Abroad, the honors of thy name.
Here's a praise song simply titled, Almighty. Listen to this lively praise. Today's message is entitled, When to Forgive. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. This gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? Should I forgive as many as seven times? Jesus said to him, No, not seven times. But I tell you, 77 times. Amen. I wish I could just sit down next to you and we could just talk about this thing face to face, but this is a very, very powerful text. While the message is very straightforward, it is dangerously easy to misunderstand its meaning for us today. You see, when Peter said to Jesus, Should I forgive as many as seven times, he was not being funny or sarcastic. He was really beginning to understand the gospel. You see, there was already a standard rabbinical model for forgiveness. The law said to forgive three times. For Peter to suggest seven times was an incredible increase. And I know he was kind of thinking, well, Jesus, you see, I'm getting it. Can you imagine what Peter felt when Jesus said, no, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. I think Peter's mouth must have just fallen wide open. This was such an enormous number. And of course, Jesus was not trying to give a formula for the number of times to forgive. He was trying to show the importance of forgiveness through this incredible exaggeration. Did you realize that forgiveness is at the center of our understanding of God? The Christian faith begins with an understanding of forgiveness. You see, were it not for forgiveness, there would be no Christian faith at all. You and I are participants in the kingdom of God because of forgiveness. We call it grace. God's remarkable acceptance of us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now notice that the lesson is directed toward the victim. It is not directed to the person who injures his or her neighbor. I have discovered that the person who is usually the most difficult to forgive is yourself. Time after time, I've counseled with persons who are not quite able to accept their own forgiveness. They can usually forgive others, but not themselves. You know, I remember Karen. It just grieves me to think of this young woman. She was a very attractive brunette and a very competent surgical nurse. She met Rick and they fell in love, and after dating for about 6 months, they wanted to get married. Karen and Rick were in their late 20s, and Rick was an especially handsome young man. Karen said, I call him my movie star. After they had been married, they moved away to a nearby town, and I really hadn't seen him for almost 2 years. Late one night, there was a telephone call. Hello, Reverend Wolfe, this is Karen. Her voice was so distant, I could barely make it out, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I don't really recognize your voice." "It's Karen," and she gave me her last name, and she said, "You married us 2 years ago, and I'm a nurse," and of course, I remember then, and I said, "Well, how are you? How's Rick?" I could feel her tears over the telephone. She couldn't say anything. "Could I see you in the morning, or would you like me to meet me now?" There was a deep quietness, and just about a whisper left in her voice. "In the morning will be better," she said. "I can't come now." Well, we agreed on a time the next day, and we began to meet. When she came in, she was wearing dark glasses and walked painfully slow. I was so surprised to see this lovely young woman who now looked maybe 15 years older, and was only 2 years before I'd seen her. Without thinking, sometimes, I do that, I'm sure you do too, I said with a little smile, "Well, Karen, you look like you've been in an accident." She didn't say a word, but she looked at me, and I began to see a stream of tears coming down from behind those dark glasses. We were both silent. In a few seconds, I really understood what had happened. "Was it Rick?" I asked. Her lower lip began to quiver, and it was so hard for her to say yes. And I was surprised by her next comment. She said, "I don't know what I did to cause him to do this to me. He has hit me before, but never like this. I tried to get him to tell me what I did, but he just wouldn't. What should I do? I love him so much, and I don't want him to get mad at me like this." Well, friends, I can tell you by then I was having an awfully hard time holding my own feelings of anger toward Rick in check. I tried to assure her that she had done nothing to deserve what had happened to her, and that under no circumstances, not even the slightest, did Rick have any right to do that to her, to anyone. Well, we talked about seeking help in a battered woman's shelter and then trying to get Rick to seek help. I made some phone calls and arranged for Karen to meet someone the next day who really understood what she had been through and how to counsel her, and who was really qualified to do that. She agreed to see the counselor the next afternoon, and just before she left, she pulled her dark glasses off to wipe her eyes. Friends, I cringed at what I saw. Her left eye was so swollen, it was just almost shut, and I could see black and blue marks on her cheek and her neck. In all of my years of playing football, I don't recall ever seeing anyone beaten up as this. The next day, Alice, the counselor, called me and said, "Brother John, where is that Karen who's coming to see me?" And friends, right then I knew what I'd feared came true. Karen had decided to forgive Rick and go back home again. I called her immediately, and she said, "Well, Rick is out of town on some business, and I'll look better when he comes home, and he called last night and said he was sorry, and I forgave him, and it's going to be okay." Now, I want you to remember that Karen's forgiveness was a sick forgiveness. What had really happened was that she forgave Rick by blaming herself for his actions. This is not at all what Jesus meant by forgiveness. In fact, you see, she had really added to Rick's problem by helping him not to take responsibility for his own actions. There was nothing Karen could have done or ever could do to solve his problem, and it would not go away until Rick found help. You see, for Karen, there are some deep hurts in her life that had to do with her being taught that she was somehow responsible for the actions of others. I learned later that Karen was 11 years old when her father left home. He had a severe alcohol problem, and her mother had been abused by her father, and she said, "We tried so hard to make him love us." At 28, it had been over 10 years since she had seen her father. Forgiveness begins by first discovering what needs to be forgiven. If you have been a victim, it is important to understand exactly what happened. Sometimes in matters of broken relationship, you and I discover that we share in the cause of the problem. In those cases, both parties need to seek reconciliation. You know, in marriages, more than half the problems are due to the lack of listening and understanding to the other person. But it takes both spouses to reach a solution. There must be an atmosphere of acceptance and reconciliation. Sometimes forgiveness happens when a church opens its arms to someone who's divorced or done something that brought harm to others. But when a person experiences the shame of their own inappropriate actions, there's nothing more healing than the atmosphere of acceptance in which reconciliation can take place. And that, good friends, is healthy forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean accepting poor behavior. It does not mean being a doormat for others to walk on. Forgiveness does not mean condoning or accepting the offense. Forgiveness does mean giving serious attention to the offense and to the offender. To look the other way or to ignore is not the same as forgiving. I have found that sometimes we must begin to seek forgiveness by praying for an attitude of forgiveness. If you have been injured in some way, emotionally or physically, by another person, forgiving is very difficult. Don't let anyone tell you it's simple. I urge you to seek counsel with your pastor or a qualified counselor. Forgiveness can be a process of sorting out a number of issues. Sometimes they're buried very deeply within our past. Remember, deep wounds heal slowly. Give yourself time to heal and to give yourself some care. If there are issues in your life that need forgiveness, please consider that the other person may not want to be forgiven, but it is critically important that you deal with the matter in your own life. Now, I must tell you that Karen called me about a year later from the emergency room in a nearby hospital. She said, "Reverend Wolf, you were right. Every time I forgave him, he just did it again. The doctor just told me that they're afraid I'll be blind in my right eye. My jaw is broken and the bone around my left eye is cracked. Some of the nerves were really severed and I can't even shut my eyelid." Pray with me just a moment. Lord, how profoundly simple is the need to forgive and to be forgiven, and yet so terribly difficult for us to experience. You found us separated from you by our own brokenness, and you forgave us. And now we must accept your forgiveness. Help us in all that we do to live as forgiven people, so that others might see and desire your redemption. In the name of Christ, amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Dear friend, as we look at contemporary events in the world, we realize the desperate need for forgiveness. And we learn that mere religion is not the answer. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Endless rounds of bitter hatred, anger, revenge, and retaliation. Participants who do not know the love of God, who on the cross sacrificed himself for his enemies in a bid to change human hearts from selfish anger to kindness. Jesus is the answer. To reject God's love is to condemn yourself to an existence of miserable suffering. Jesus is Lord, and everything against his reign leads to breakdown, grief, and pain. Dear friend, if you're under the dominion of anger and hate, Jesus can transform your heart and your values and your entire life. John Wolf, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, recently somebody sent me an article written by C.S. Lewis. Of course, it's written a long time ago, but it really caused me to think, and these are my words of what I think he was trying to say. He said, "It is so easy to get caught up in all the promotion of politics that we forget who we are as followers of Jesus. It made me realize that I often forget about the thousands of families and children, moms, dads, who have a place to sleep and something to eat every day and every night because of the church. You and I are the body of Christ. The United Methodist Church alone has missionaries in 80 countries and mission partners in 120 countries. And that's just a small thing when you add all of the denominations together. And then think about all of the non-denominational churches. We're talking about millions and millions of people who are being cared for every day by the church, not by the government or some political party, or not some political hero. You see, this is happening all across the world. It's happening because of people who follow Jesus. There's no gender, no nationality, no race, or anything else. It's always called the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You know, news agencies get their stories so that people will listen and watch, and you know, all the time that's going on, the church is silently working 24/7 to bring care and hope to people in the world. Think about the millions and millions of people across the world and all the different languages and nationalities who make up the church. Can you imagine a world without the church? I want to ask you, will you covenant with me to pray for and be the church, all denominations, all the independents? We need each other if we're going to change the world. Blessings on you. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com. The Lord be with you. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. and may the Lord bless you and keep you.